it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With our next guest, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline from MassinSports.com. Rock Baco, Rock, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
All right, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Doing good.
Just talking about the arbitration eligible guys for the Birds, and there's a lot of them, and you wrote about it a couple of days ago on Masson. One guy in particular, Ryan Mountcastle, home run production has dwindled, injuries have mounted, could be looking at a $1 million raise, apparently, according to MLB trade rumors. Put the Rockabaco crystal ball to work. Where's Ryan Mountcastle going to be in about 4 months here?
Injuries mounted. I see what you did there.
Got it.
Yeah, I hate to say for sure because it's a lot of speculation, obviously, but I could certainly see the Orioles moving on. Now, they could go ahead and try and make a deal before they have to tender him a contract. They could tender him a contract, then try and make a deal. I think they'd love to check around. I think there is a market for him. I don't know how high the value, but there is a market where you could try and get something back for him. But you know, at this point, with what the raise would be, and everybody gets a raise at arbitration, doesn't matter what kind of season you had, you're going to get a raise. And you're right, the home run production down, and it was supposed to improve with the wall move did, but also it's just been injuries every season, and usually more than one. But there's always been something that stalled his progress, and he can't seem to get on a roll. And now that you've got, if you're really going to give Coby Mayo that chance to be a primary first baseman, and you've got Samuel Basayo, who when he isn't catching and they want to keep him in the lineup, he'd play first. I just don't think there's a spot now any longer, even with Ryan O'Hearn gone. So I think they will definitely check. And there's been a market in the past. There have been teams that have been poking around the deadline. The Orioles, I think, have made it pretty clear to other teams in the past that he's been available. I think they will try to go ahead and do something where they can move him to get something in return.
Well, Rock, great chatting with you. And I agree, the Mountie situation is going to be one to monitor. I think with the position players, if we stick in this category, one thing that fans are going to probably want to know is how this outfield is going to continue to play out. We've talked about it quite a bit on the show in the past. It feels like to me Dylan Beavers should have an opportunity to be out there to play. It looks like Colton Cowser right now would have the first crack at being the center fielder, and Tyler O'Neill more than likely will opt in. It makes sense, right? But it feels incomplete, Rock. It feels like there's a lot more holes there. The infield, to me, it's pretty self-explanatory of who's going to get the everyday at-bats. But how do you see this shaping out, and do you think that the Orioles would go back to the well and look for a veteran that's out there on the open market?
Absolutely. They're going to be looking to bring in an outfielder, a bat, a leader, because that seems to be the one spot, even with the guys you name where it starts to seem a little crowded. I feel like that's the area where you could go ahead and add somebody and kind of rotate guys around, give Tyler O'Neill more time off to try and keep him healthy through a season, or at least most of it, because the infield does seem pretty set at this point, and you don't have room for another catcher, even if they carry three. So I feel like it's got to be outfield. And with Cowser, I thought he played a really good center field, at least it passed the eye test for me. But I have talked to some people in the organization who think that their best defensive alignment has him in left, which could put them in the market to bring in a center fielder, even if it's on a short-term type deal until Enrique Bradfield Jr. is ready. But that still gives you now, that would be four outfielders just from the three you mentioned, who I feel like have to be on the club. And then, you know, you bring in a fourth guy. But I feel like they're going to go ahead and try and make a move. And that would be where you could try and bring in a big bat, somebody that maybe can carry this club a little bit when other guys are slumping, which is inevitable, and a leader, like a Nelson Cruz-type veteran guy that can help you. I don't think it's fair that this young core is being expected, hey, it's time for you guys to lead now. I mean, that's fine if these guys, you know, are able to do that for the even younger guys. But I think it's asking a lot for the Jordan Westberg and the Jackson Holidays, the Colton Cowsers and guys like that to suddenly be the guys who, you know, call the team meeting. Everybody comes to them to look for guidance. They need a real true veteran type leader. And obviously somebody that's a productive bat too. This person's got to be able to hit as well. So I think they're definitely going to be looking at outfielders. And if it's not free agency, then you look on the trade market. With the draft and the guys that they got back during the trade deadline, you can start packaging some younger players to bring in, whether it's a veteran starter or a veteran bat or both.
Yeah, I mean, I think we learned this past year that as much excitement that you have with young guys, there are so many different outcomes. And a lot of guys are going to have the growing pains, which many of the Orioles have had, especially their young players over the last couple of years. I mean, maybe except for like a Gunnar Henderson, who just, even on a down year, still made such positive strides defensively. But I'm with you. I think they need a bopper in the middle of the order. They need another veteran guy in the lineup there. But also, Rock, they are going to need some more starting pitching, because this end of last year almost was an audition for the staff of who are guys you know you could staple and lock in. And I think ones that I would pencil in or Sharpie in if they're healthy for me was Kyle Bradish, Dean Kramer, and Trevor Rogers, right? And then depending if Tyler Wells, if they want him to be the guy. But we found that out that they're going to need more. And I think the Orioles, guys like Cade Povich, there's some upside, but there's a lot of question marks. Where do you think the Orioles could go here, whether it's free agency, which is still very unpredictable, giving out money as we've seen, or do you think that they're going to really look at the trade market?
I mean, they're going to look at both, but I've always said that it seems like it's a lot easier to make the deal where you can package some of your prospects and make that trade so it's out of the player's hands. So it can't be, I'd rather play closer to home, or I might be able to get more money over here. You go out and you make the trade, and you have to have what appears on paper to be too many starters, because it never really is. Because if you also factor in Grayson Rodriguez, I mean, we just named five guys right there, and we're not even counting somebody coming in from the outside, and they have stated that Tyler Wells right now, they view him as a starter. So you're going to have five guys there, and that's not counting Povich or Brandon Young or somebody from AAA that might be knocking on the door. But you still have to go out and get at least one starter, because you just don't know with injuries, the guys that have options, if they struggle and you can send them down. And you just never have enough. You never have too many starters. And especially now if they do want Wells to be a starter. So I think they're going to go out and try and bring in at least one for like that top third, whether it's a one or two or a three, because Bradish is a legit one. Trevor Rogers, the way he pitched, would be a good two, but how deep would a rotation be if you bump him to three and slot somebody between Bradish and him? And then, yeah, Kramer, Wells, they're going to go look. They're going to try check the trade market. They'll look at free agency. And if it's too expensive, then, you know, you're better off trying to package some of these guys, like I said earlier, whether it's draft picks that you just got, or if it's, you know, some of these young guys that you got during the deadline where they traded, what, nine guys away or whatever. Try to package. Talk to the Mariners. Talk to the Marlins. Talk to the usual suspects and see if there's a top type of rotation starter that you can.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring in
Rockabacco MassetSports.com. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Unfortunately, we have to end this one on a sad note. Craig Heiss passed away. The news coming down today. The Orioles just sent out an official acknowledgement of Heiss's passing. I know, Rock, you've known him for a long, long, long time. I mean, it's a tough spot to be in for sure. 2025 just sucked in this particular area. But what about Heiss, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, one of those things you just don't expect it. I was driving, I had a missed call from Stan Charles, and I got a text from somebody, and word spread quickly. My phone's been blowing up all day, and it's just, he was kind of a staple, and not just Orioles. I know there are guys covering the Nationals that have told me that they're just gutted by this news. I mean, I've known him since I started on the beat, and we had so much fun with him. Mike Mussina used to joke with him all the time. You know, Heiss was known for, instead of an opening question, it would be more of a statement. And Mussina would call him out on it every time. Craig, that's not a question. That's not a question, Craig. And we'd laugh, and then he'd go ahead and answer it. Just a very lovable, fun guy who did a great job on radio and just somebody who, you know, you're just used to seeing around all the time at both ballparks. It's going to be very strange without him. I said his timing, he waited till they were the last game in the old press box and waited for the Yankees to get eliminated. Two perfect things. So I'm going to picture him being with Henny now, Joe Strauss cackling at him and going back and forth with him like he always did. But yeah, it's a very, very sad day for this B crew.
Rock, appreciate the time. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, pal.
There's Rock Abaco, everybody. Yeah, Craig Heiss passing away unexpectedly last night. So one of our colleagues here in the Baltimore sports media gone and, you know, to a new dimension.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.